2 of our Lifestyle the Spirit message series, where we are taking a closer look at the fruit of the Spirit, which is described in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verses 22 to 26. Now, the first thing I'm going to do is read that passage, because 1, there are some of you who weren't here last week, and 2, it's always good to reread Scripture to become familiar with the things that you're reading so we can understand them better, in particular, in this case, the fruit of the Spirit. And by reading again, we will also know where we will be going during this 9-week message series. So, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. So what the writer says is explained here is the difference between a sin-filled life, the flesh with its passions and desires, and a Spirit-filled, fruit-producing life. The difference between these two types of lives is our belief in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. If we do not believe in Jesus Savior, we are controlled by our sin. We are motivated by our flesh. We are controlled by our passions and desires, which are motivated by sin, whether or not we realize it. I say that because when I was out there living my life before I knew Jesus, I didn't realize I was a sinner. I didn't understand any concept of sin. I was just living my life the way I wanted to live. Did I feel guilty sometimes? Sure. Did I feel shame sometimes? Sure. Did I hurt people? Yes. Did I hurt myself? Yes. Did I make mistakes? Yes. But I did not acknowledge the fact that my life was controlled and motivated by sin. I didn't realize I was living by the flesh, and why was I? I wasn't a Christian. I didn't know Jesus. It wasn't until I learned about my sin, I acknowledged my sin, and confessed my sin to God, that I received salvation from God through His Son Jesus by what He did on the cross through His death and resurrection. And I shouldn't be using the word "we" because all of us in here have been there. It wasn't until we accepted God's gift of salvation and came to believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior that we received God's Spirit. His Spirit came to live within us, within our souls. And we no longer live by the flesh with its passions and desires. We now live by the Spirit. And the Spirit produces fruit. Fruit that is opposite to our sinful desires. The Spirit produces love, joy, peace, forbearance, or patience, sometimes it means kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control within us. Then we express that fruit as we live out the daily life. I want to make sure we make this clear. Blessed. We are not the producers of the fruit. The Spirit is the producer of the fruit. We become expressions of that fruit when we crucify our flesh and keep in step with the Spirit. And this is not a one-time thing. It's a continuous process that's at work in the lives of those who believe in Jesus as Savior. So last week, let's help us take a closer look at the fruit of life. Today, we're going to take a closer look at the fruit of joy. And the best place to start is with a definition of joy, which is actually harder than you might think, because people in society define joy in various ways. But in general, joy is defined as a feeling of happiness, contentment, internal peace. However, in my opinion, best way to understand joy is to contrast what I would call moral joy with Christian joy. To contrast moral joy with the joy that Paul is referring to when he thinks about it as a fruit of the Spirit. Moral joy is a cause and effect type of joy. I do something nice for you, I get joy. I'll give you an example. I buy you the Christmas gift that you are really hoping for this year. You love it, and I get joy because I gave it to you. It's a feeling of happiness, it's a feeling of satisfaction, it's a feeling of accomplishment. However, there can be a certain level of selfish pride mixed in with that gift. You can make it about you because you're the one that got the gift. So if we're not careful, moral joy can actually be motivated by sin. And there's the opposite, depending on the type of person you are. Immoral joy. I sin against you on purpose. I do something immoral or mean to you, and I get joy because I messed up your death. I messed up your life. An example would be a Christian scam, where you get a link in an email or a text message and click on it, and they get access to all your personal information, including your credit card. They get joy, whether it's right or not, for what they accomplish. In other words, moral joy is dependent on circumstance. It's a cause and effect. Joy is the effect. And that feeling doesn't really last for you. Because in reality, moral joy is a temporary feeling. Because now you need to then find the next thing that's going to bring you joy. And the hard part is you might have raised the bar. It's like an addict that's facing that first time. You're going to start seeking this joy. And if you become a vicious cycle, then that can actually lead to anxiety, sadness, and depression. Which is why I prefer to call this type of joy temporary happiness, temporary contentment, and temporary peace. And it's often motivated by sin. Now, on the other hand, there's Christian joy. There's joy that is the fruit of the Spirit. And this joy is not based on sin. This joy is not based on sin. It's completely independent of circumstance because Christian joy is based on the person and work of Jesus. Christian joy can exist despite our circumstance. Because it's based on our faith in Jesus. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's produced within us by God's Spirit. Let me explain with a Bible passage that Sarah read for us earlier in service. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. Let me read it again. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice. The verb of joy, rejoice. Though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trouble. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of the soul. Again, Christian joy is based on the person and works of Jesus Christ. Christian joy is based on God's gift of salvation that He offered to us by sending His Son to the cross to die for our sins, and by raising Him to life. The reason this type of joy cannot be based on circumstance is because it already happened. Jesus lived. He died. He was resurrected. He ascended into heaven, and he will return again one day. This is a fact that we cannot change. It is independent of our current life and circumstance. However, when we believe in Jesus as Savior, we receive this joy. The joy of the Father through his Spirit. 1 Peter 3:8-9, but read it again. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Another reason that we have why we have trouble finding joy is that it originated with God. It didn't originate with you. It existed with God before creation. I'll show you. Psalm 104:31. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his work. Isaiah 62:5. As a young man marries a young woman, so will your builder God marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. Luke 15:3-7. Then Jesus said them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. So the Lord, who existed before creation, who existed before us, rejoices in his works. He rejoices for his people. He rejoices for his church like a groom rejoices over his bride. He rejoices when one person receives his gift of salvation, when he finds a lost sheep. God has joy. He rejoices, and his Spirit produces his joy within us. He produces a fruit of the Spirit within us. It becomes part of our lives. It becomes a part of our souls. Okay. Now that we know where Christian joy originated, with God, and now we know how it transfers to us through the Spirit, through our faith in Jesus, we need to understand how it functions in our lives. We need to learn how to express it so that others can see it. To understand joy as a fruit of the Spirit, we need to first realize that it's a feeling. It's a feeling. It's not an idea. It's not a concept. It's not a decision. It's not a decision. It's a feeling of internal happiness, contentment, and peace within our souls. And just like other feelings we experience, such as happiness, sadness, anger, or fear, we don't have immediate control. We don't decide to feel something. We just feel it. Let me give you an example. Let's say you're afraid of spiders. I don't know if anybody is. And you look down and you see a spider right in front of you. You don't say to yourself, "Hey, that's a spider. I'm supposed to be afraid of spiders. Now I'm going to experience a feeling of fear within me, so I'm scared of that spider." No, you see a spider and you're scared of the spider. You do not have immediate control over that fear. That's how feelings work. Most people don't wake up in the morning and say, "You know what? I'm going to be angry today. You know what? I'm going to be sad today." No, you're scared or angry because of things that have happened to you. Your response to things that have happened to you. Most, if not all, feelings are based on circumstance. In the same way, joy cannot be manufactured. Joy cannot be created. The Spirit has given us joy through our faith in Jesus. And he doesn't, it's not some crazy magical thing that he does. The Spirit gives us joy by telling us the truth through the Word, the Bible. The Spirit points us to Jesus through the Word, creation. And the Spirit that date, time, place, moment of your faith. How many of you felt sad at that moment? I'm guessing all of you. How many of you felt joy in that moment? I'm guessing all of you. Because when the Spirit reveals the truth of God's salvation to you, when He points you to Jesus and you accept it, there is no other feeling to have but joy. Because the Spirit produced it. It's out of your immediate control. Then when you read the Bible, and you read about Jesus' resurrection, and the Spirit reveals to you that you too will be resurrected one day, joy is produced within you. When you read about the ascension of Jesus into heaven, and the Spirit confirms that you too will ascend into heaven one day, joy is produced within you. When you look at the moon, the stars, the sun, the plants, the animals, and the Spirit confirms that God created all these things, joy is produced within you. When you get an answer to your prayer, joy is produced within you. When you rely on God to get you through a hard time, joy is produced within you. However, there is a small stipulation. If the Spirit points you to Jesus and you do not look up, your joy will be suppressed. Because like Paul says in Galatians 5:25, you are not keeping in step with the Spirit. The Spirit guides us. The Holy Spirit leads us. The Spirit teaches us and points us in the right direction, but He does not force us to follow His lead. We are not robots. And we did not create our joy. But we have the ability to suppress or strengthen our joy on a daily basis. It's similar to our other emotions, which is why I kept saying immediate control over emotions. Because, for example, if you struggle with anger, there are things you can do to control your anger as well. You can go to anger management centers. You can join like-minded people to talk about your anger. You can get an accountability partner. You can seek Jesus. You can ask Tom to help you with your anger. You may not have the ability to completely remove your anger, but there are certainly ways that you can learn to suppress your anger and suppress your immediate reaction to things. And with regard to joy, we have the ability on a daily basis to either choose Jesus or not choose Jesus. We can choose sin or not choose sin. If we constantly choose to love and follow Jesus and the Spirit in our lives, our joy will be strengthened. We will experience more joy compared to people who choose others. If you want to experience joy, read your Bible. Pray. Serve others. Reflect on things that God has done for you in the past. Consider the things He's doing now and trust that He'll do things in the future. Join a small group or a Bible study. Learn more about that. There may be many other things besides these two objectives. But regardless, we need to stay in step with the Spirit. We need to strengthen our joy. We need to allow the Spirit to produce this fruit within us on a consistent basis. We will be able to navigate a lot of that. Now, just because you have joy, it doesn't mean that you're immune to bad times. Having joy is not guaranteed to be immune. This is why I'm so thankful Peter added that one statement in the passage from earlier. 1 Peter 1:6, he says, "In all this, the resurrection, your salvation, the inheritance, the production, in all this you greatly rejoice." And you should. These are great things. "Though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials." This is where Christian joy separates itself from the other things. This is where Christian joy separates itself from moral joy. Christian joy can be produced simultaneously with the other two. Christian joy can coexist with sadness. Christian coexist with grief. It can coexist with fear. Because Christian joy is not based on circumstance. It's based on Jesus. Now, on rare occasions, people have experienced opposite emotions, such as sadness and happiness at the same time. For example, your child is heading off to college. You're joyful because they're growing up and they're doing things that they haven't done before, but you're also sad because you won't see them anymore. However, it's almost impossible to be angry and happy at the same time. It's almost impossible to be scared and at peace at the same time. Both opposite feelings cannot be produced simultaneously except for Christian joy. Which brings me to my next point. There's another reason to receive and express more joy in others. There's another reason. And it's less about us and more to do with us. As Christians, we are called to lead other people to Jesus. And there are many ways to do this. But one way is to keep in step with the Spirit and express joy in our hard times. So much joy that others wonder what we have. So much joy that others want what we have. What's different about this? That they would praise God after receiving a diagnosis of cancer. Why would this person still claim to love God after their hospital cancer? Why would this person still go to church and trust God after they lost their job? How come they are having a celebration service and not a funeral for a loved one? Aren't they sad? Aren't they angry? Aren't they depressed? Yes, they are. But they also trust in the promises of God, and they have allowed His Spirit to produce powerful amounts of joy within their lives. They are sad and joyful. They are angry and joyful. They are grieving and joyful. They are scared and joyful because they have Jesus. They trust in God's word. They trust the truth of verses like Romans 8:28, which says, "And we know in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, even if we may not see it at the time." Even if we view something as a negative situation, we know that God loves us. We know that the Spirit lives within us. We know that God has a plan. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's easy. But just know that God loves you. And that God is for you. He is not against you. Now, it's impossible to feel it alone anymore. We have to rely on the Spirit because the Spirit produces that fruit within us. A few years ago, I had a house that said joy. If you don't believe it, I wasn't talking. No one did that one, but somebody else did. It said joy in front, just J-O-Y. And I was at a piece of place I was getting taped out. There was a gentleman in the corner, and there was a couple of people in between us. And when he was finished on his way out, he looked at me and he said, "How can you have joy when you're sitting back there?" He referred to my student. And now, this is what I'm about to tell. I said, "There's joy everywhere." And that's what I said. And then I went, "There's been so many joy things in there." But he left, and then I spent the next few days wondering what I could have said. But regardless of what I said, I knew the answer. It's Jesus. Sometimes I wonder how I would deal with my progressive muscle disorder if I didn't have Jesus. I'll never know because I have Him. But I did kind of know because I dealt with it before I knew Jesus. And there was a lot of sadness. There was protection. There was anger. It probably contributed to my drug addiction. But once I received Jesus, I learned to have joy in all of my circumstances. I learned that if I have joy while I'm sitting in this room, it's actually a ministry. I'm showing people Jesus through my actions. I'm showing people Jesus through my joy. And I have joy. It's not fake. actually do. And I won't reveal any personal information, but I can name five people right now in this room that have joy despite their circumstances. Who have joy because of Jesus. I love the final comment by Paul in his letter to the Philippians. And I want to share this part of my encouragement. This is what he says in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 and 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is honorable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Paul is basically saying that our joy should not be kept to ourselves. We should express it. We should express it in front of others. We need to rejoice in the things that God has done for us. Regardless of our circumstances. We serve an amazing God. An amazing God. We love Him and care for Him. A God who has a plan of redemption in place for this broken world. A God who serves us. A God who sacrificed His own Son for us so that we could be free from the consequences of our sin. We serve a God who placed His Spirit inside of us so we could experience true love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness,